Baby, the podcast taking one casual theater goer to full out fangirl. I'm your host, Kimberly Schmidt, here with my husband, Jay Schmidt.
Hi, guys.
And our baby, Alex Fasella.
I love your ass faces.
Today, we are talking about the 1996 comedy musical mockumentary situation that is Waiting for Guffman.
Hooray!
Yay! But first, has Baby Met World?
Baby's Met a Little World. First of all, I saw the Tick Tick Boom trailer, and I'm so into it.
Very excited. He looks laying on the couch and singing.
What I loved about it was it's got just the right amount, almost in the Heights kind of way, but specific to the main character. He like sees music kind of drawn in places, so it's got just enough like magical realism to be. I wonder if I'm using that term right every time I use it. I don't know,
but
it looks really cool, and I was very impressed at the. I'm guessing this was basically a way to do a backdoor Jonathan Larson biopic, and I think it's the perfect way to do it because it's probably gonna. I'm guessing it's gonna cut between him playing songs in the way the show is, and then to his life. And then what's interesting about Tick, Tick, Boom, and I only listened to a few songs in passing, but from what I've gathered, is it's him whining about being 30 and going, I don't want to sell out, I want to be a musician, blah, 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 this is my life. Which, when he wrote it, I bet you I would watch it and go, oh, shut up. But then he died right after, so it gets this poignancy where he kind of wasn't wrong. He was running out of time. So I'm guessing he's either going to die at the end of this or be implied to die. So all of the stuff he's saying will sound kind of whiny, but also will pack a punch in the end. So I'm very interested to see how that plays out, especially because this is a real man's like story. It's not just a fictional thing. It's become more autobiographical because of how his actual life ended. And Lynn's directing, so.
Yeah. And he's been in a production of Tick, Tick, Boom?
Yes.
Well, look at me.
I think he was in the one with Lindsay Mendez, right?
I saw clips from it. It looked like Karen Olivo.
No, it wasn't.
Leslie Odom Jr. At least it looked like a concert version, but I don't know.
Yep, that sounds right. I don't know. Theater's been gone for so long. It's all one big soup in my mind. And I'm just like, Tick, Tick, Boom. Let's dig out that little piece. What does that one look like?
And so now I have decided that my theater summer jam is 3090 from Tick, Tick, Boom. I've played it like a million times. It's really good. And then beyond that, now through Tick, Tick, Boom, I'm realizing that all of my world is Tick, Tick, Boom related just because.
Okay.
I am now getting much interested in Raul Esparza because I really like his voice, and I watched that clip of him doing Franklin Shepard Inc. that you sent me.
Yeah.
And I watched some interviews, and he seems very funny and cool, and he's got cool tattoos, and he looks like Gerard Butler.
Like you loved him in Taboo.
I keep forgetting that was him, but yeah, let's say yes.
Yeah. Your intro to him was Taboo.
Was he Taboo?
He was not Taboo. He was the like narrator.
Oh.
Okay, he was Philip?
Phil? Okay. Philip.
Was he in both versions or was he just on Broadway?
Just Broadway.
Okay.
Philip Taboo.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly
correct. Raul Taboo. Mm-hmm.
I love Raul Esparza. I came across a picture of me and him at the stage door recently from when I was like 19 years old.
Yes. I'm going to need you to.
I saw him in Anyone Can Whistle.
Oh, I'm going to need you to shepherd me into him because I feel a fandom brewing inside me.
Absolutely. Well, let's do Tick, Tick, Boom next time, and we'll talk about Raul as our star of the week.
Excellent. And that's all the world. Saw a movie in the theater today. That was a nice throwback, and it made.
Oh,
me
you
think
saw
of
a movie in a theater, Jay Bird?
Yeah. We talked about it last week.
But you only just saw it 2 days ago.
Well, I saw Fast 9 before the last episode.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
How was your movie theater experience, Alex?
It was good. It was a tiny theater in on 19th Street seeing Black Widow, and it did kind of unlock, oh yeah, theaters are fun in the Broadway sense. So now I'm a little itchier to get back than I was before I saw this movie today, just because I hadn't been in a theater of any kind in a while.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I want to be my thing back, because most of my Broadway tickets are given to me by random chance. But aside from that, I might shell out Phantom tickets just because it's just out of curiosity. And because I I was talking to a friend of the show, Jim Barrow, about this. He was saying, I was like, oh, we were talking on our Phantom episode about how they should redo the effects of that. And he goes, no, they shouldn't, because it's the last Hal Prince show we can go see as it was made. And there's a historical value in that. So that kind of made me more interested to go see it, because I really like what Hal Prince does. And I was like, oh, well, there's that show is still running and he designed all the stuff. I might as well go see what that's about.
I disagree with his point, but
I do too, kind of, but also I think it's very valid.
Yeah, no, that is the most valid point that I've heard.
I would like that. There is a, speaking of productions that are different, in Germany, a new production of Wicked is opening.
Oh.
That is not the original production, and it looks real cool.
Yeah, okay.
And I was like,
do you remember any differences offhand that you could describe, or do I need to see it?
Just it's like updated and the costumes are better. Yeah.
Yeah, it just looks not, it doesn't look like, you know, 2004.
Yeah, I didn't realize how like dated like flying via cherry picker was until I was like, she looks like she's flying.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And so that made me excited. So would you like to go to Germany?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we can see Starlight Express.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. This actually sounds like a fun trip.
Yeah, I need to see that Starlight Express theater before I die.
Yeah.
They built a building to facilitate, to the best of its ability, Trains the musical.
Yes.
I need to see that.
Yeah, I do too.
Like, it wasn't like, oh, we took a building that we had and we retrofitted it. No, they started from scratch. We're like, the sky's the limit. Starlight Express is going to here. Go nuts, kids.
Contractors were called. Blueprints were drawn.
Incredible.
Stunt roller skates were tried.
Yes.
All-nighters pulled until victory.
Yeah.
And it has worked for many years. So let's go.
Yeah.
Have we met any other world?
Not really. I mean, the funny thing is, and I think Alex can attest to this, that like it's fun going back to the theater and or like a movie theater or theater in any way. But like when the most recent movie I saw was Full, and I had the thought, I was like, it's great to be a part of like a crowd and yada, yada, yada. But also in the back of your head, you're like, I understand why in a pandemic, this is not safe at all. I was like, we are all just sitting and really close together, just breathing. Like
For a while.
Breathing emotionally.
For a long enough time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm emotionally.
I'm going to wear a mask on the subway forever now. I got one cold in the last year and a half. It's working.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We should have been doing that. And we should have been doing that anyway, probably. But oh, yeah. There is the part of my brain has not kind of thought that quarantine was just forever now, especially because my job moved fully online, so kind of like got in there. So there is a part of me when we're in a movie theater packed in, no masks, I'm like, we shouldn't be doing this. This is madness.
This is dangerous.
And I'm like, oh, I guess it's okay. And then I'm like, but it's also madness. Variants.
100%. I went to a bridal shower today and I kept having to like remind myself. I was like, everyone's so close to each other. Oh, we're all vaccinated. We promised. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. Life is normal. Oh, but it is not. Oh, but it, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully it trends normal and not, this isn't the beginning of another end for us. So.
Yeah.
But
anyway, shall we word of the week?
Word of the week.
Vamp. Not the classic sandwich, but it's not a classic sandwich. It's the name of a sandwich from just where I went to high school and nowhere else.
Yeah, what?
A buffalo chicken cheesecake is a vamp.
No, it's not.
Only at this one restaurant in South Jersey.
Okay.
It's short for vampire because goth kids used to come in and order it.
Anyway,
it's delicious.
I can't imagine a goth kid eating a sandwich at all. That seems out of place, doesn't it?
Especially a buffalo chicken cheesesteak at a pizza place.
It seems too festive a sandwich for that.
Everybody's got to eat, bud, you know?
That's true.
Oh, goodness. Okay, vamp, as it pertains to music, is just a repeating chord progression that you can play over and over again until the singer decides to sing or until the sort of the next movement appears. I chose this for today because my favorite part of Waiting for Guffman is when they just miss their entrance and then you have to hear a measure of vamp and then they go again.
Yeah.
But they have paused for dialogue, like right before. And I'll give you a penny for your thoughts. And it's the most community theater high school thing to hear.
Yeah.
Vamp, you've miscalculated your dialogue.
The best way to describe it is in a piece of music that is basically the waiting to hop in double dutch.
Yeah.
Like it's the pattern. That's
exactly right.
And it can keep going and keep repeating. And like you can eventually it's or like a turnstile that you eventually hop on to get on back on track.
Yeah. This is actually a term I knew, but more from like rock bands, like playing a riff over and over while like the singer tells a story or something.
Yeah.
And then decides when to solo. Like Green Day, when they play some stuff from 21st Century Breakdown, Billy Joel Armstrong will just tell a story in the middle of one of the riffs starting, and then they go into the song when he's done with the story. And so that's fun. Or like it's also a jam band thing where it's like the riff's going to play and then the soloists are going to go in and out as they please. So I had not heard it in a theater context, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's often used under dialogue in the middle of a song or the beginning of a song. To just vamp you in. And then if you're very good at it, you're listening to the vamp while you're speaking and you're slowing down or speeding up to make sure you get into your entrance still within the cadence of your speaking by the time you need to sing.
Yeah.
And it's very hard. And I remember in high school, I was not good at it for a couple of days for one specific song. And the music director looked at the director and goes, "What's wrong with her?"
Oh no!
And that really shaped my experience.
Personality.
Theater. So that if you really want to make an 18-year-old believe they can make it, ask what's wrong with her.
Wow.
Yeah. I hate vamps. Only because of that. Because then after that happened, I was so nervous.
Yeah. Like, why do you hate vamps? They're triggering. Like,
he's going to be so mad.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was a big trigger. You love vamps? Of course you do.
Well, vamps are...
You can just talk as long as you want.
They're helpful. the funny thing about... A lot of times vamps will be written into the score and like specifically like placed there on purpose. But also sometimes like you will... It'll be a part of the conversation in the creating of the show or like in the creative process. Like we need to add a vamp here because like some like a set piece is going to come in or something. Like there's something... Something like extraneous to like what's on the page happening in the show that like we might need to add a vamp here just in case the thing they need to sing about doesn't come in or something. Yeah. Like, so it'll give them the ability. It not only gives the actors the ability to kind of work around something before a song, but like the set and the lights, and it kind of gives everybody just a minute to like, all right, we're good, right? Great. Here we go.
Yeah. What's kind of interesting about it is by nature of it being so repetitive, you can kind of get these like infinite combinations of whatever's supposed to happen around it. You have more freedom because you have this very specific anchor,
mm-hmm.
which I think is
And sometimes
is
cool. It can be used for comedic effect if you just keep vamping.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yes.
If something's going wrong and you're just like, I've heard the same piece of music quite a few times.
What are some vamps that maybe I would know from theater, because I can't think of any specifically. I'm sure I've experienced it, but I can't be like, oh, I love when this show does that vamp thing.
You know, the best part about a vamp is I can't think of a specific one because they are used so perfectly. You're just like, that's just part of the music, but it was a vamp. Okay.
Yeah.
The only thing the first thing that came to my head is just interludes going, do, 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 do.
If you normally.
Do, 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 do.
Yeah.
If you notice them,
the West, and that can vamp for as long as it takes.
I feel like West Side Story's got a few because there's some dialogue leading into songs. I can't put my finger on. I feel like when you're a jet, maybe has that da 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 kind of over. If he says guns, I say guns. When you're a jet, you're a jet. Like,
yeah, it's let's put it this way: if you're noticing a vamp,
something's wrong.
Yeah,
it's which like is a magic. Why it's funny and Waiting for Guffman.
Yeah.
Do we want to learn where the term vamp came from? Kids eating sandwiches?
I've honestly always wondered that.
I've never wondered until I told Jay that this would be the word of the week. He said, I've never known where comes from. I was like, yeah. I'm sure it does come from something. I've never thought to ask. The slang term vamp comes from the Middle English word vamp with an E at the end. In parentheses, sock.
What?
and from Old French, avant-pied, equivalent to modern French, avant-pied, literally before foot.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like before the step. So like your foot's up and you're waiting to step and start walking.
Interesting.
Or you're just putting a sock
okay.
on.
Okay.
So like it made no more sense than it did this morning when I didn't know.
It makes sense if you really squint at it. You're like, oh,
yeah, before you right now.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yep, well, it's like before you step right into it, there's like a zone of hesitation that you have freedom in. It's not a great analogy, but that's what it is, apparently.
I know. I want to know who was the first person that was like, this, fam. This is a vamp.
Well, if you think about it, like you're stepping on a treadmill, like, you know, if it's a treadmill is going, like you kind of have to like, then that makes sense. But that is not
a sock.
That.
Yeah, the sock one doesn't work. Before foot kind of works. But
yeah, before foot makes sense. But sock really,
unless
really
it's
does
like,
not.
Well, before you put on the shoe, but then we're.
Yeah, that's. That is not even in the top 10 of things I would have guessed.
And what would you have guessed?
I would have guessed like vampires.
Name all 10.
Like, you know, vampires, they live forever. And so they know the best timing for things. Or vamp, hey, it's those buffalo chicken sandwiches those goth kids eat. Hey, vamp, oh, it stands for vehicular amplitude marching presently. So like it's when you're hearing like the vehicle of your brain hearing the amplitude of the song.
Mm-hmm.
And you mechanically progress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
VAMP. That's what VAMP stands for. It also stands for very, very ample music production.
Particles.
Yeah. It's the particles in the air of music. Like when you play music, it's like how a smell is like little tiny particles or whatever you're smelling.
Yeah.
It's like that, but with music.
It's like a space of music. Science. Yeah.
It's an acronym. It's nice.
I always think of a vamp as also a term for like a femme fatale character.
Yes.
So I was like, is there a connection? And clearly there is not. But
the answer is no, unless vamp as a femme fatale also means sock.
Oh, you know how I like my ladies.
Socky. Oh, goodness. Well, that's been the word of the week. We've learned a lot here.
Actually, quite a bit.
What an interesting
what
thing.
What a stupid explanation.
I know.
I like it.
That's why I like read that to myself and I was like, this is exactly what it needs to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good. This is good content right here.
Great content. Speaking of great content, Waiting for Guffman. Is a 1996 American mockumentary film written by Christopher Guest and Eugene Levy, starring Guest himself, Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara, Fred Willard, and Parker Posey, among many others. Shall we say our personal histories? Jaber, do you want to start?
I do, yeah. This is, I really love this movie. This became our, you know how every... I mean, Kimberly will understand this. I'm not sure if Alex will, but every theater company in a high school,
they have a movie.
They have a movie.
Okay.
And the movie for my theater group was Waiting for Guffman. Some theater companies, their movie's Clue. Some theater places, their movie is Rocky Horror Picture Show. There are a lot of like cult classics that usually make the rounds.
Camp
is another one of those. Ugh, God, that was a bad movie. But for my theater group, Waiting for Guffman was the movie. That was what we all quoted all the time. That was the show. So I've seen Waiting for Guffman too many times. I really, really, I own it on DVD here somewhere.
Oh.
Yeah.
In the collection.
Yeah, I almost watched it on DVD just for funds, but then I realized like there's nothing plays DVDs.
Your PlayStation.
Oh, yeah, I guess it does. Yeah.
The thing that's right in front of us.
Too bad. Well.
But you haven't had to watch it on your computer.
Yeah. But, yeah, I've seen this movie many times. I can quote all of it. It's one of my favorite movies. I love this movie.
I'll go. Best in Show was one of my favorite movies growing up. And then I had never seen any of the other Christopher Guest movies until college. Maybe I hadn't seen Waiting for Guffman, like, all the way through until... probably this time last year when we watched it for a movie club episode of Broad Wasted.
Oh, cool.
But I knew all the quotes because of said theater children.
Yeah, I quote this movie all the time.
I knew it's the day of the show, y'all. I knew everybody dance.
Everybody dance. I texted that to Kimberly as that was happening. I was just like, everybody dance.
So I knew all the quotes, but I had never like sat down and actually watched the whole
movie. See, that's Alex. That's my Lion King. For when like when sometimes we'll be in a we'll be in like seeing a show or something, and like there will come a moment where like they're getting to the end of a moment, and I will just lean over to Kimberly and go, "Everybody dance."
Yeah, absolutely.
And then they do.
Okay. Alex, had you ever seen this or heard of this before?
My parents went through a major Christopher Guest phase for like 2 days, and they just rented all of his movies, and we watched them back to back to back to back. Every joke pretty much went over my head, so I did not enjoy any of them. But this is the first one I've watched since I was an adult, and I liked it much more because I understood what was happening. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's
helpful. About it. So I don't count any of those first ones because I was too young.
Yeah, you can't. They really. I was probably too young for them in high school. Even I didn't really get even a lot of it then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like weirdly, they're so over the top and also wildly subtle at the same time. It's like a weird combination of vibes.
Yeah. When you're younger watching these movies, I feel like the like in between scenes of like the big jokes, you're just like, oh, this is just a scene. And then going back, bless you.
Ooh.
Like watching the scene when they're having Chinese food is like just as funny as.
Oh yeah, my dad is very fond of that line that you know when they'll just split a monkey open and eat the brains right out of it. Yeah, that's like one of his favorite lines in like all of cinema. He loved that so much.
He'll just kill a monkey at the table and eat the brains. Especially, and then like once you're an adult and you understand improv, you're just like, how are these people not cackling?
Yeah,
I would like to watch all of the bloopers, please.
100%. Yeah, I just like really like this because it's this movie, like from a theater perspective, is actually like really real. It's not. It's very clearly made with theater people.
Yes.
In mind, like Kimberly was talking about earlier, it's like the concept of like them missing the vamp. It's not overplayed. It's not really that big of a, it's not really played for laughs that hard, but like if you get what's happening, it's even funnier.
Yeah. Like I feel like people that wouldn't understand what happened are just like, oh, she's bad at this. But theater people are like, that is a very specific way to be bad at what she's doing. Yeah. And it's very funny.
It's also very difficult to be that specifically bad at something.
Oh, that's
miss that on purpose. Yeah.
my big love of the whole thing is I am infinitely impressed by actors who are so good that they can portray being bad at acting because that's hard. It's like if you're a musician and someone says, can you play something off rhythm? You kind of can't because it's been just drilled into your DNA. So if you can play as an actor who isn't good at what they do, it's like mind blowing to me because you have to basically you have to through whatever mind tricks unlearn everything you know. Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
And this movie is everyone's doing that. So
yeah, it's like how in Crashing they portrayed bombing like more accurately than anything in a way that there were episodes I had to turn off because I was like, I can't watch this. I can't watch him bomb because it's too accurate of a just depiction of bombing that I don't want to see it.
Yeah, the only episode of Mrs. Maisel I saw depicted, I think, better than any other thing. The it was funny in the car, but not on stage.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Really well. I was like, oh, yeah, I've lived that about a million times.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's I just really, and it's also just as like a young theater person, like having a show that was about a bunch of a lot of other theater nerds that like the funny thing is that like. And the one thing I took away from watching it again was I forgot how very hopeful this movie is.
Yeah, it like it's a bad show, but everybody likes it. And that's OK.
And it actually this movie, like one of the themes of this movie is the actual the transformative power of live performance, because like this show is not very good. But like everyone in it really like
makes everybody in the town really happy and everyone really likes it. And it brings everyone together in a nice way. And I was like, oh yeah, there's a little bit of hope core in this in a way that I truly like.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Like, you know, I do not, I will watch obviously they gear up to do a thing and it's humiliating and there's comedic value in that and cinematic quality. But it also is nice that we get one that's like, yeah, it's every bit as bad as you think, but nothing really, there's no real consequences.
Yeah, but
it's just like, oh, but they're not in trouble. That's kind of nice. It's a little
they
bit
all had fun.
Oh, the producer didn't come. They were never going to Broadway anyway.
They were never going to Broadway.
Yeah.
It's like, they all had fun. The whole town all thought they were great. I forgot how he's like low key my favorite part of the movie, only because it's the guy who can't audition but like really believes in Corky and like really wanted to be a part of the show, and he was just like, man, this first act, like they're interviewing him and he's like, you know, it's just like Corky's the only one that really could have brought this vision to life. Like, well, he's like, damn, I wish I was in this so bad.
Oh, yeah, he's
like, I was like, ah, I was like, that's so refreshing. Yeah.
There's a lot of it for a movie about gigantic egos in theater. This movie is more earnest than it is cynical. And I think that's good because it makes it not mean-spirited in the way, even when someone you're like, oh, this guy's not a great guy, but like at the end of the day you're like, it's okay, like we're all having fun.
No one's really the butt of the joke in this.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of easy targets to be the butt of the joke in this.
Yeah,
like as someone from Missouri, I was like, they could have been like, oh, these yokels are trying to do a Broadway show. And I'm like, that ain't it. I was like, that ain't it. Or it's like, it could have been like, oh, like Corky really doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, that is true.
That is but, the joke.
But it's.
Oh, yeah. The music director is my favorite part because he clearly is the qualified person to do this show.
I wrote that down, and in my mind as I was writing, I was like, this is going to be Kimberly's favorite character, because Kimberly can never get past the person that should be doing it and is qualified not being paid attention to, because I feel like you identify with that too hard sometimes.
Yeah, what's wrong with her?
Yeah, what's I'm qualified, you should listen to me. Why aren't you listening to me?
We found
everybody vamp.
Everybody vamp.
Yes, he's absolutely my favorite part because he's just very adequately good at his job and everyone hates him.
Yeah.
But he doesn't quit. Well, he kind of quits and then he doesn't quit.
What are everyone's favorite numbers from Red, White, and Blaine?
Stool Boom.
Stool Boom.
It's Stool Boom. It's got to be Stool Boom.
It's a chorus line style like 70s Broadway number and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
That's like a Marvin Hamlisch song.
All the numbers have a lot of like weird. For me, it's tied between Stool Boom and Penny for Your Thoughts. And Penny for Your Thoughts only because the fact, man, I was laughing in my house alone to no one. It's just when Parker Posey and Christopher Guest are walking through the park, but then they get to the middle of the stage and they just keep walking in place when they could easily just stop. But it's the way that Christopher Guest, like he's walking like a show pony, like he's putting like his toes down first and then like sliding them back. It's just the best. It makes me laugh. It's so stupid. It's like, just have them stop. They can just be in the park and they don't have to keep pretend to walk. It's so stupid. And I love it. But like,
and
that's
yes,
like,
perhaps the, die.
Yeah. Those are the little theater things where it's just like a good director would have been like, you can just stop. You don't have to pretend to keep walking.
Yeah, it's so good. It, also in Penny for Your Thoughts, Parker Posey has very good extension. So every time she kicks, her leg is real high. And then Corky's leg is not. And so when they're kicking at the same time, like a director might have been like, just be at the same level. Just you both get to 90. Yeah. And she's just like, I can kick my face though. So here I go.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the button where she does that kind of toe touch and he tries to.
Really?
But he can't make it all the way.
It's so good.
And all I could think about the entire time watching it was, I was like, I'm very 50-50 on this. Yeah. Part of me is like, why has a Waiting for Guffman musical never gone to Broadway? Like, but also in the same vein of like Spamalot, I'm like, yeah, they would just ruin it.
what if they did it mainly Red, White, and Blaine, but then there was a little like asides that were the backstage drama, but that was almost like side stuff to make the main show funnier. Do you think
like
that
noises
would
off?
Yeah, like it was like little tastes of what's going on.
I think Red, White,
like a B story.
I think Red, White, and Blaine is really the fun part of the movie, but it's all the buildup to it that makes it, in my opinion, way funnier.
Yeah.
Like when Eugene Levy takes his glasses off and he's cross-eyed, it's just like, that's just that's just magic.
And also, it's good that you brought that up because I had the thought. I was like, oh, well, I wonder if this show would work comedically on stage. And I went, yeah, but stuff like that cross-eyed stuff, you need a camera. It's only funny because you're right in there. The audience can't really see that well, or at least it wouldn't be communicated as well. But the fact that they can do a close-up is what makes that joke land.
Yeah.
So it would have to change at least. But
to borrow from one of the worst things I've ever seen, Meatloaf's. What was that
show? Bat Out of Hell.
Bat Out of Hell. Why not have the documentary filmmakers on stage and then the close-ups behind them? Because it's weird. Because it doesn't work. Because it's weird.
Isn't that what the West Side Story revival did? It's all screens?
Yes.
Yeah, no.
They haven't announced that they're coming back yet, I don't think.
I don't think they're gonna.
We shall see. It would make sense that they'd try because the movie's coming out. Although they're a completely different thing. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Very interesting. Jay, what were all of your top high school quotes?
Oh, well, it's day of the show, quotes. Y'all, is like, that's still part of the
vernacular.
Everybody dance. Like, the amount of times that got, in show choir specifically, the amount of times that, like, people would mouth under their breath, everybody dance. And I'm realizing that a lot of the quotes that I'm about to say are a lot of my little loves. And this is something I still say all the time. You can just get cooked. You can just get cooked. There's lots of things you can get. You can just, you can just like get a Coke. Anytime everyone's
you
like, oh, you want to
say that.
I know. It's Parker Posey. It's like, you can just get a Coke. You know, just get cooked. That just makes me laugh. It's so funny. She's talking. It's just, she spends like 5 minutes talking about all the things at Dairy Queen that she can get. And it's so funny. It's like, there's lots of, you can get a deli bar. You can just get a Coke. Just get a Coke. So good. The other quote, you're all bastard people. I'm going to go home and bite my pillow.
The delivery of that, I think, is even better than you just do. It's like, because you're bastard people. Because
you're bastard people. I'm going to go home and bite my pillow.
It's like he's delivering some truth bombs on them, and it's very, very good.
The other things that got quoted whenever, and this was more, this actually like translated, because that's also when Brian and I became like really good friends in college. That was also his high school theater movie, so we bonded over that. Whenever like you strike something, you want me to strike this? We've done shows with Corky before, like we know the lingo.
You guys still say it.
Yeah, all the time.
If you're moving anything in anyone's home.
Oh, do you want me to strike this?
Do you want me to strike this? We've worked with Corky before.
I'm actually kind of glad that we waited to do this until after I did a play that had a lot of these problems.
Oh?
Yeah. Remember I told you that the play you guys saw?
Oh, yeah.
It was a little Waiting for Guffman-y behind the scenes. Priest turns around and it has a Yankees logo on his back.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So I'm kind of glad that we waited on this one until I had, like, I would still appreciate it. But the fact that now I have lived a production, it's like, it's a jail, but we don't have a set. So the bars are implied.
Yeah.
This guy's reading his lines out of a book, but he keeps messing them up anyway.
Yeah, he did that.
He did do that, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I quote, this was got quoted a lot in high school. I don't know if I quote this as much, but it's, I need $100,000. How much you need? $100,000. yeah, those are kind of like my top quotes for the most part. Bubby needs a Kishka. Bubby made a Kishka. That's so good. I love this movie. I really do.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm now trying to think of things to talk about that are not little loves.
I think we should just move into little loves.
There's a lot of them between the two of us.
There's not a ton to talk about. I mean, I think it's just fun to see
Like, this is like, this is like theater person 101 in my firm opinion.
Yeah.
That like, yeah. But it's like, if you haven't, if you're listening and you haven't seen this movie, go watch it right now. It's the best. Make a big bowl of popcorn. Have a great time. Don't take yourself too seriously. Enjoy the Hope Corps. Basically, the more I'm starting with Little Loves. I'm going right in because I got I got a lot of them.
I have one fun fact before you start.
Oh, one fun fact.
Just the one thing that I learned is that the song Christopher Guest wrote the songs of Michael McKean.
Oh,
who's not in the movie, but who's in a lot of his other movies. That's all.
And I think Harry Shearer contributed too.
Yeah,
these are all basically Spinal Tap joints.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah, all three. Okay, your Little Loves, sir.
My Little Loves, I love how Corky uses the word obtuseness when he's describing the shows that he's directed and talking about how Backdraft, he was just like, I just like lit newspaper and just let it into the, into the air ducts. And I was like, that's so stupid. That's so funny. I just love that they just like keep dropping hints that Fred Willard got a penis reduction surgery. And
they don't drop hints. He says
so. No, but like earlier on in the movie, they were like, you know, at the state, he's like, oh, but that one time you went for that medical procedure. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking. We don't have to talk about that right now. That's just so. The thing is that there's a lot of jokes in this that are like seemingly low hanging fruit, but they just commit and personalize it so hard that it doesn't, like him taking his glasses off and having the lazy eye. It feels like an easy joke, but it's like so earnest that it's hard to not get on board with it.
Yeah.
Feels like yeah. You could get cut. That was not.
Just Blizzard is like really old, like 20 years old.
It's so good. I just love Parker Posey. She's so funny. A lot of this episode is me just
loving this movie.
Yeah, just laughing.
Yeah, continue.
About thoughts. My favorite like fun fact about this show, in the line for the auditions, you know, the guy dressed up as Dracula that was just standing there.
I didn't notice that.
That's Bob Odenkirk. It's Bob Odenkirk dressed up as Dracula waiting in line to audition for Red, White, and Blaine.
Wow.
The old guy doing the Raging Bull. That's so funny. I love it how Corky says, if I'm going to get back to New York on my own terms, I'm going to have to. I was like, what does that even mean? I'm going to go home and buy my pillow. After when Corky quits and they think the show's done, when again, Parker Posey being America's treasure, I'll always have a place at the Dairy Queen. And then it cuts to her just grilling a piece of a chicken thigh for like no reason. And it just like freezes on that shot for so long for no reason. And then my last little love, I'll end it here. But and I think it's a moment I'd never seen before until I watched this movie that I think is really sweet. It's when Dr. Pearl comes out as the town guy. Like the first time he comes out, they cut to his wife in the audience, and she goes to like applaud his entrance. Cause she's so clearly in love with him and so clearly loving it, but like, and then notices no one else is going to clap, but then like kind of gets sad and like puts her hands down. And I was just like, oh, it's a very sweet little moment. Yeah. She wanted to like applaud his entrance. And that's so nice.
Her watching Red, White, and Blaine is my favorite of the reaction shots. Cause she just loves it.
They just have a great time.
She's so proud of her husband.
The reaction shots are really important in that. Like the whole audience is clearly having
that's
a great time.
That's why it would be hard pressed to work on stage because you are the audience. Like there'd have to be on stage seating and then like the characters sit with them so that you can see them watch.
Yeah.
Something. My main little love is Catherine O'Hara because she's wonderful. And just the way that she is a bad actor is that she's just very loud. And just that is a thing that some people are just like, how do I sing? Loudly. And just every time she starts to sing, it's a belt.
Yeah.
Until it's not.
And she gets very believably drunk at that dinner.
Oh, like, yeah.
He told me not to bring up the Jew thing, but.
He had a penis reduction surgery. She is wonderful in this. And Parker Posey, of course. Yeah. And then all of the quotes that you said.
Inge Kek.
Huh? You can get a code.
Get a code.
Is that a Missouri accent?
No, it's just
This is how she dubs with it. I don't know. But yes, I was also going to say, Dr. Pearl's wife, just how much she loves him. Just all of the cuts. And the one, like, city council member that wanted to be in the show so badly. Him just, like, watching in awe at the best thing that's ever happened to his whole life.
Yeah. And, like, all the city council coming to Corky, being like, Corky, you're the only one that can do this show. Like, we need you. There's no cynicism to it. They actually mean what they're saying.
They just won't give him $100,000.
They just don't have $100,000.
I need $100,000.
Their whole budget is $15,000 for the whole year. That's everything. What?
And swimming.
Yeah.
And swimming. Alex, you have little loves?
Yes. First of all, I love that when they're planning just the kind of logistics of where all the stuff is for the festival, that one guy's like, let's get some snipers on the roof. They want to go to the rumble here. And I like that they don't say sniper because it would almost be too much. He just says a man with a rifle. I was like, he wants to have snipers. That's great.
And then the other councilman's like, well, we did get egged last year.
My second love is Backdraft, the musical. Backdraft is one of those movies, I've never seen it, I never will see it, but it is so fun to reference.
Yeah.
Because it's like a Silence of the Lambs, but the murderer is fire. Like, I don't need to know anymore. I just love to reference it. I love it. Alan Pearl, who is like the town funny man. When you actually hear him make jokes, it's mainly just making fun of Native Americans. That's like mainly what he does. But they never call attention to it.
Well, he's doing Johnny Carson, but the most offensive Johnny Carson bit of all time.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Finally, Stool Boom is what... Stool Boom is so much better than it has any right to be because it's a legitimately good song. And then just the lyric, hawk your jewels, spend the money on stools or whatever it is.
Hawk your jewels, spend the money on stools.
Yeah. Am I wrong for thinking that sounds like it could be in a chorus line if it was about stools?
Yeah. Well, my favorite, it's also a good song. It gets stuck in your head. I sing Stool Boom all the time. It gets stuck in my head constantly. But it's just also the story, like the concept, like the storyline they built around it, that like McKinley came through and got a footstool and then there was a stool boom is so ridiculous, but also like it crosses that line where I'm like, yeah, I'm sure there's some small town that had a stool boom at some point because of some, like it's just stupid enough to be believable.
Oh yeah. That's the best part of Red, White, and Blaine. Is that you have spent the previous hour learning about why this town is ridiculous, every single thing, and then they romanticize it for you in song.
It's nice.
Like the alien encounter.
Yeah.
It's like, look at these people that think they saw a UFO, and it's like we are validating them on stage by being like, you did see a UFO, and here it is singing. It's nice.
It is nice.
It is very hopeful because they're waiting for Guffman. You know. Like Godot.
Yes.
Or Godot, if you want to be obvious.
Ugh.
I was going to say something else just now. I was going to talk about Harold. And that when I was watching this, I was like, do you think Harold just never shows up to Red, White, and Blaine? Oh. Or does he accidentally take Guffman's seat?
Oh, he accidentally.
Is that Harold?
And also, yes, another little love, Roy Loomis. That never has an actor been more spectacularly cast than Roy Loomis. Oh, hey, I'm just happy to be here. Yes, my daughter had a child and this was fun. You know, you guys did a great job. Bless you. This was this was a really nice thing you guys did today. And then like leaves with the balloon. it's so funny.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. If Harold was here, he should leave. I think this is a very good movie. At its best, it's like, I'm rolling. At its worst, it's a little more witty than funny. But like, if that's your worst, that's pretty damn good. So I'm happy.
It also clips along. It doesn't overstay its welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not very long.
84 minutes, 86.
Oh, perfect.
My name's Harold, and my daughter had a baby, so I'm in town. I'm from Chattanooga, and you guys did a great job.
Apologies for my phone.
You know, it's sorry about my phone. It's just, you know, my daughter had a baby. She's been calling, and
but I decided to come here.
Bless you all for this show, and I'll see you my way out.
Oh, goodness. What a wonderful thing. Is there a review review?
There's a review review. This is from Yay Katrina, and the subject heading is enthusiastic with 5 stars. Please leave Broadway Baby 5 stars and a nice review on iTunes, and it will help our numbers. Please do that. I love how this podcast is so fun. The hosts are super energetic, and it makes the podcast super engaging. I love the personalities and the conversations. Thank you, Katrina.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Or a fan of Katrina, if you're just named because you are a fan of someone named Katrina. Yay, Katrina.
Yeah. Yay, Katrina, to you.
Yes.
Alrighty. Sing out, Louise.
Bum, 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 bum. Bum, bum, I'm vamping. Bum, 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 bum. In your room, hide away, avoiding viral doom, running on fumes. Get on Zoom. Zoom is where you go when you are stuck at home and scared. March to June, everybody's on Zoom. Zoom, boom. In a pandemic, watch the sales bloom. Like a fever, it's a Zoom, boom. Every day is the same. Clicking, liking, always eating, too much sleeping, clicking. Liking, always tired, and Facebook creeping.
That was a good one.
That was fun.
I knew there was school.